Classic FM City Guides with Air Miles, bringing you closer to Istanbul.
You probably have a list of fabulous cities in your head. Paris, Rome, Hong Kong, Sydney, San Francisco, not forgetting London, of course. But there's only one great metropolis that stands astride two continents, where you can hop on a ferry from Europe to Asia in, what, about 10 minutes. Welcome to Istanbul, where East meets West, and they promptly go out for a cup of tea. I'm Simon Calder, and I'm so glad to be back here and to be able to share my delight in Turkey's largest city, which drapes itself seductively on the shores of the Bosphorus. Let me introduce you to the best way to start the day in Istanbul. Behind this heavy wooden door is a man wearing only a moustache, a smile, and a towel, who's about to beat me to a pulp. In the nicest possible way, and also give me a good scrub down, because I'm in the Çemberlitaş Hammam. I'll be lying on a flat, marble, 12-sided table beneath a sparkling dome. Well, that's for men, anyway. Girls, I'm afraid you're on your own.
What does your shopping list look like today? If it happens to include golden slippers, apricots, Iranian caviar, a watering can, a hookah pipe, Turkish delight, and Turkish Viagra, then you can probably get it all done at one stop. The fantastic 400-year-old Spice Bazaar here in the middle of Istanbul. Most of the shops have prices marked, but I do believe that it's possible to get a discount if you're good enough at haggling.
Initially, Istanbul might strike you as confusing, chaotic even, a giant melting pot. Well, yes, it can be all of those things, but I prefer to think of the city as a buffet from which you can take whatever you like. And there's a cultural feast on offer. Besides the astonishing architecture and the treasures in the city's museums, Istanbul has a vibrant musical scene. I don't know if you were in Oxford at the end of the 1980s or during the 90s. If so, you would have been aware of a brilliant young conductor called Cem Mansur, who is now working back in the place of his birth in Istanbul. And I'm delighted to be with him. I think even people who've been here, who've experienced the wonderful diversity, the sheer intensity, the colours, the smells, the beauty of this amazing city of, what, 13 million people, may have missed the fact that actually, in terms of classical music, there's an awful lot happening.
Well, there is, yes. I mean, sometimes. I remember when I used to be a student in England in the early days, and I actually had people ask me questions like, well, do you have cars in refrigerators? And you say, what's more, we have symphony orchestras and opera companies for good measure. And it's actually, people don't really realize how westernized Istanbul is musically. But Istanbul has always been described as the place where East and West meet as a standard cliché. And I've seen it as often as a place where East and West actually collide with sometimes catastrophic results as far as who are we. And there's a lot of confusion in people's minds about that. And I think that classical music and Western polyphonic music, and I used to give it its full grand name, I think it's more descriptive, more general, actually has a lot to contribute to communities who are between different cultures and who can be multi-layered in their cultural identity. And classical music is a great carrier of ideas and ideals of Western civilization, which I believe, in my sort of slightly Eurocentric way, is actually the carrier of some universal truths. I think there's a reason for classical music to be the most exportable of all the musical traditions. Classical music, actually, Western classical music, goes back quite a long way in the history of the city.
Can we just talk about the musical calendar in Istanbul? Other great European cities have very strong senses of the seasons changing. What's the calendar like in Istanbul?
July and August are quiet normally, although there are individual events. But they're in the season, apart from that, the rest of the year is actually very crowded. There's a state symphony orchestra and a state opera and ballet with their own orchestras, separate orchestras, who have a regular season. And then there are various privately funded orchestras. There are two, certainly. There's the Borusan Orchestra and the Akbank Orchestra. I'm in charge of the Akbank Orchestra. And we have regular series with great international soloists. And then there are various concert halls. There's the İşsanat, the İşbank, which is one of the largest banks, also runs and sponsors its own concert hall. There's a Cemal Reşit Rey concert hall, which belongs to the municipality of Istanbul, which also has a rather impressive calendar of concerts and recitals. And there are events there, the individual festivals that I happen to be doing in historic sites in the city. There's of course the great International Istanbul Music Festival, now in its 35th year. You'd be spoiled for choice if you're here on the right week, certainly in the season.
You were born here, you know the city as well as anybody. How would you prescribe for somebody who's just got a short time here for them to spend their time to get the absolute most out of experiencing Istanbul?
I think Istanbul exists on so many different layers historically, and historically those also denote a certain quite a contrast in its in what makes the city. It's a danger it's a danger of trying to experience Istanbul as too much of an Ottoman or a modern Turkish city or too much of a Byzantine city. So during short trips, I always tell friends and people who ask me exactly this question to try and get a taste of what makes the city as great as it is. So see a bit of Byzantine history. Certainly, obviously, I mean, one will see the great Cathedral of St. Sophia and the great underground cistern. There are some smaller and less well-preserved Byzantine edifices as well, but of course the great Ottoman tradition of the great palaces and the harem, certainly of the Topkapı Palace, some of the greater mosques, the covered bazaar, things that everybody sees. And certainly visit some of the concerts and sample some of our very good young musicians, because that is one side which is really still where Istanbul is still pretty much unknown.
The thoughts there of Cem Mansur, one of the most profound thinkers in contemporary classical music, as well as being a brilliant conductor. You're listening to the Classic FM City Guide to Istanbul with Air Miles, and I'm Simon Calder, heading off now to go through the basics for any visitor to this great city. Given that Istanbul is a pretty huge city, it's not exactly surprising that getting around is a complicated business. You have trams, you have an underground of sorts, you have a funicular railway, there's buses, there's taxis, and there's the dolmuş, which means stuffed. And given the crowds here, you almost certainly will be. The area of Istanbul where most tourists end up staying is called Sultanahmet, after Sultanahmet I, and his greatest hit was the amazing Sultanahmet Mosque, better known as the Blue Mosque, in which he set about trying to outdo the Hagia Sophia almost next door. It's a stupendous experience to be here beneath an extremely large and weighty dome supported on four enormous pillars. Everywhere there is sparkles of light from the stained glass. It's called the Blue Mosque because of the thousands upon thousands of blue tiles that decorate it, but overall the effect is of being somewhere much more golden, I suppose. Actually, I'm not really sure why I'm whispering, because there's plenty of guided tours going on, people answering their mobile phones, all sorts of antics. It doesn't feel too much like a place of worship at the moment, but it is closed to tourists during services. I'm now in one of the great auditoriums of Istanbul. This is the İşbank Hall. It's a fabulous concert hall with fantastic acoustics. Relatively small, but extremely intimate, and every seat in the house has the perfect view and the perfect sound. And I've got the perfect guest. I am talking to Yeşim Gürer, who is the director of the İşbank Hall. When does the next season begin, and what will people be able to hear?
So next season is going to begin by 4th of November, and as usual will run until the end of May for 7 months. So for the classical music artists, we have Russian Academic Philharmonic Orchestra as a visiting orchestra, playing one night with Nikolai Lugansky and Chloé Hanslip. Then we have Orchestre Lyon playing with Jean-Yves Thibaudet. From our Virtuoso series, we have Natalie Stutzmann's recital, we have Dmitry Hvorostovsky. You know, these are the first names coming into my mind.
How easy is it to attract them to Istanbul? Because it is not known as one of the great stops on a classical music tour of the world, with the greatest respect.
Sure, because it's kind of far from the rest of Europe. When the artists and orchestras come here, they are always very happy by the Turkish hospitality, which is our tradition. They are always very happy. They always want to come back.
How important, then, is classical music to the people, the 13 million people of Istanbul?
You know, the audience is not very big in Turkey, but it's very well educated. So, you know, whenever we have good artists, it's always months before the concerts are sold out. This year, we started to sell the tickets quite early, and our ticket sales raised like 35% from the last year.
The really exciting news from your point of view, and I hope from the listener's point of view, is that you are just handing over your responsibilities at the concert hall here because you are the new director of the Istanbul Festival. Tell me what you have planned and when people can enjoy the festival.
Next year is going to be the festival 35th anniversary, so it's quite important. We have Concertgebouw, Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra with Maris Janssons and Mitsuko Ushida for two concerts. And we have many visiting orchestras, small ensembles, baroque ensembles. The program is still in process of forming, let's say, but I'm sure visitors who will visit will have very exciting musical time in Istanbul.
So, the most exciting city in the world?
It is the most exciting city in the world for me, as I've been living here since my birth. But of course, it's up to the foreigners who visit.
But they should definitely come and find out for themselves.
There are hundreds of things that we as Istanbul people don't know, and we hear from our friends coming from abroad, and then they just discover these things and we go discover after them.
Yeşim Gürer, the soon-to-be director of the Istanbul Festival, one of many celebrations of creativity in the city that is the stepping stone to the Orient and a destination for sheer indulgence. Could this be the most romantic place in the world? It's a contender. Let me tell you what I'm seeing from here. The sun has just set on Asia and the lights on the far side of the Bosphorus are twinkling in the deep, dark water. A ferry's just docking, having brought people across the Bosphorus. And behind it stands the Topkapi Palace, the miraculous creation of the sultans. To my right, there are two mosques of amazing scale, their minarets pointing to the heavens. And where I'm walking right now, across the Galata Bridge, are some very, very romantic couples enjoying a dinner with the best view this side, well, of the Bosphorus. One final stop on my journey of discovery. This is Istanbul's main station, and it used to be the place where the Orient Express arrived after a journey of anything up to 4 days through Europe. These days, it's just 4 hours away by air. Sadly, though, I have to bid farewell to Istanbul now, but remember, my trips to Paris, Prague, Madrid, and Boston are just a click away. You can find out more about the 5 cities I've visited on the Air Miles website, airmiles.co.uk. I'm Simon Calder, and thanks for listening to this Classic FM City Guide to Istanbul, a place that surely deserves to be at the top of your list.
Classic FM City Guides with Air Miles. Excluding tax, Heathrow to Istanbul return is now just 2,000 air miles. Conditions apply. Air Miles, rewarding experiences every day.